Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many things you've blessed us with the entire service today. So many things you've given us. And now the blessed opportunity to return to your word once again. Help us now to understand what you want us to and apply it in the right ways and encourage us to share it with others. Thank you so much for it. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Something that born-again Christians are going to be looking forward to, the world is going to be dreading, but born-again Christians are looking forward to, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo! Amen. Jesus is coming for us. If you will turn to John chapter 14, we see where he specifically is teaching this very principle. Short, but to the point. In John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's awesome that we have that promise right here, that he's going to come back to get us. The reason, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." He's speaking to the Christians, because we know that. We have that relation. We have that connection. But note here in verse 5, "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the only way. All these other religions out there are going the wrong way. Only the one that has Jesus Christ in the center, the only way to the Father, to the Heavenly Father, to the new creation, to heaven, to eternity with Jesus Christ, is by the way of Jesus Christ, by his finished work. The only way, and only to those that have trusted in him as their Lord and Savior and received him into their heart, indwelling them with the Holy Ghost. We see up here in verse 5 where Thomas, he had not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost. Even though he had been with the Lord, seen the miracles, and so forth, he had not yet been indwelt. So don't be too hard on Thomas when he was asking about, "Well, we don't know, can you show us?" But he really emphasized that in verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So all these other religions out there, all the other things out there that people might want to trust in, even like we were speaking earlier in Sunday school about those that think because of their bloodline, because they are of the descendants of Abraham, that they automatically have a pathway to the Lord. No, it's to whosoever comes. And it is specifically to those who receive and accept the finished work of Jesus Christ. We read earlier in the Gospel of John chapter 1, where it says, "But as many as received him," we must receive him, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Because when we receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we are adopted into the family of God. And that is permanent. That is eternal. "To them gave he power to become the sons of God." That's sons and daughters, of course. "Even to them that believe on his name." Now, this believing isn't just an acknowledgement of the existence of Jesus Christ. It is by living in. When you're living in him, he's living in you. That's the kind of belief he's speaking of here. "Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born again, of God. He quickens us. He brings us back to life. We're spiritually dead until he brings us to life. And it is not by our bloodline, it's not by our will, and it's not by our works. It's all by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when we have that sealed, when we have that locked in, we're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that day when he comes back and brings us to be with him for eternity. He speaks of this over in the verses that we consider, the verses concerning the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. people that don't believe the rapture have a miserable attitude about eternity and about future, and they don't believe that there's going to be a rapture. They are sorely lacking in understanding of the Word of God. And in here we see, of course, we have those that say, well, the word rapture is not found in the Word of God. It is found in the Latin Vulgate. You just got to look up in Latin. And there are not many people around anymore that write or speak or study Latin, but that's where it's found, in the Latin Vulgate. Is the word that is transliterated into the word rapture. And when we translate it into the Old English, it means to be caught up. That's where we find it here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, these asleep are those that are born-again Christians that have passed away. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The ones that have no hope are the ones that are lost, that are spiritually dead. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now you got to do some study on this word prevent. It means not to proceed before. It means, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, physically dead, but spiritually alive. It means, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And those are very comforting words. Now, don't take any misunderstanding here about where it mentions clouds, because you have this false teaching about how we're going to go up and we're going to be floating around in the clouds and playing the harp and all that. No, that's not what he's talking about here. When we're going to be ever with the Lord, we're going to be wherever the Lord is. Right now, he's in heaven. We're going to be in heaven with him if we pass away before his coming. If he comes down and receives us up, we'll go up to heaven with him. For the time period of the tribulation going on down here on the planet, then we're going to come back down with him onto this planet. He's going to establish the millennial period. So he's coming back two more times to this planet. Coming back and only going to be up in the clouds to bring his up to him. The next time he comes back down, he's going to come all the way to the ground. He's going to set foot on this planet and establish the millennial kingdom. That's when there's going to be a whole lot of wailing and moaning and groaning because of the judgments coming upon the planet. But the born-again Christian are looking forward to both of those events, especially the very next one when he comes back and receives us up to be with him, because then we'll go into the Bema judgment and we'll be looked at all the things that we've been able to accomplish for him, and he'll give us various rewards. And he'll establish our position for us when we return in the millennial period to begin 1,000 years of more opportunities to serve the Lord. That's a lot to look forward to as a born-again Christian. But you get to wondering about this being taken up and being received in verse 15 here. Received, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. The dead rising first. What is this he's talking about, rising up? Many have thought, well, you have to preserve the body in order to have that body when you raise up. That's why the whole practice of embalming bodies and putting them in sealed caskets and so forth, we've got to keep this body together, is very important. And you even had misconceptions about this where you have to be whole. So therefore, if you amputated a part, you're no longer whole. And a lot of misconceptions about that. The Lord spoke everything into existence in 6 literal days. All the substances of all of our existence, all the particles, all the elements, all the atoms that we are made up of, he spoke into existence in those 6 days. He knows where they're at. If you get totally consumed by some big fish out in the ocean, or get devoured by some animals on the ground, if you get eaten up by the bugs, whatever, the Lord still knows where all that material is. We don't know for sure. Is he going to use that same material and put it back together? We don't know. But we know the mass that he spoke into existence in those 6 literal days, he will utilize that to make us a brand new glorified body. And it is going to happen so quickly. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can see here a reference to how quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up in verse 52. I'll tell you what, let's go to 50. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. So this mortal body that we have right now cannot last for eternity. Many of you are sitting out there with some pretty serious aches and pains. You know good and well what you've got. Not going to last much longer. Amen. And it's deteriorating. It's what he says in here, corrupting. It's decaying. Because that's part of the curse that come upon man for sinning all the way back there in the garden. But this body that we have is not what's going to go into eternity. For this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. A twinkling of an eye, that's quicker than a blink. It was in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump that he mentioned earlier. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This mortal body that we have right now is not what we're going to have for eternity. We will be changed instantly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when he comes back to catch us up to be with him. It is for this corruptible, that means this body that is able to decay and wither away, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, we'll be able to live forever. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Letting us know that it's by his finished work, it's not by us, but it's by his finished work, and he gives us an opportunity to be able to build rewards, to be able to roll over into the millennial period, and in 1,000 years and more opportunities to build other rewards to take into the eternal state. So much ahead of us to look forward to as born-again Christians. It is so awesome. But we get to wondering and we get to pondering, well, what are we really going to be like? We can find out that we're going to be like him when we study his word. In 1 John chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse 28 here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 reads, and now, little children, abide in him. Abide in him. That means to follow him, to listen up to him. Abiding, that means to have a communion, to have a connection, to have a union with him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his at his coming. As he says there, we may have confidence. Are you confident in your salvation? Are you confident that you're going to be caught up to be with him? If not, I best say you better get confident, because we don't know how much longer we got. And not be ashamed. Are you going to be ashamed at that moment because you're going to be doing something you shouldn't be doing? Or you have something you haven't taken care of, that you haven't lifted up and given to the Lord? Read 28 again. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So if you want to be unashamed, you need to lift it up, give it to the Lord, and ask for forgiveness, and he'll forgive you. Get it taken care of. Chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's why we're not really certain what kind of physical existence we're going to have. Some have said that it's just going to be a spiritual existence. We're just going to have a spiritual body. Well, we were given an example in the scriptures when the Lord raised from the grave and stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching. He was right there associating with the disciples and seen of over 500 at one time. And he was actually able to eat some food. And we got to wonder, is that what we're going to be like? We're not given the scriptures to say that's exactly what we're going to be like Jesus was when he rose from the dead at that time. But we know we're going to be like Jesus whenever and whatever he wants to be like, and when he wants to be like that, we will be like him. So if we're going to have a glorified body with physical existence that we can interact with mankind during the millennial period, 4,000 years, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, we don't know. Like I say, it's a mystery. We don't know what we're going to be like for eternity, but we'll be like Jesus. If he chooses to have that kind of an existence for us on the new earth, then we'll have that. It'll be the same as what he wants to have. But isn't it awesome that we have the words here that let us know that we are going to be like the one that has ultimate power and authority. We are going to be like the one who has the ability to be able to speak everything into existence, and whatever form that he chooses to be in for eternity, we're going to be just like that. That's something you can hang on to. Whatever it's going to be like, we'll be like the one who has the opportunity and the choice to be however he wants. Therefore, we will be like him. And that's awesome. And that can fire you up. I can let you know that you're going to have exactly what you need to be able to bring honor and glory to him for eternity. And it's going to be way, way more than what we could possibly imagine and dream up for ourselves. And it's all going to be because he's going to come back and get us. And we have other words of assurance in here that is he's going to return, just like the assurance that was given to the disciples right before the Lord's ascension in Acts chapter 1. We'll turn over there and we'll see that account. Acts chapter 1, let's go ahead and pick it up here in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This indwelling power of the Holy Ghost is given to all of us now. After the day of Pentecost, anyone who would receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, would receive the Holy Ghost instantly as a down payment, as a seal, acknowledging and emphasizing the relationship that we now have with the Father. As it continues, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So emphasizing that he's coming back, just like he said over there before, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So acknowledgement, he's gone up. A lot of witnesses saw this event take place, and acknowledgement that he's coming back to get us. So be ready, so that when he does come back, you're not ashamed. We have some other references to this that you can read in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 24 and 25 about the last days, how he preaches and teaches about the things that are going to be going on. And we see some of these things being fulfilled today. We see the signs of the times. We know it's not going to be much longer until he does return. I emphasize you to read Matthew chapter 24 and 25. We won't get into that this morning, but in that we have the assurance that he's coming back and he's going to get us, and there's going to be judgment. The key there's going to be judgment. We got to know and acknowledge the fact that there is going to be a time that we're going to be held accountable. So we need to, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what we need to do. We need to get it right. We need to get it washed in the blood. We need to get born again. And then we can be looking forward to the event of the Lord coming back to rapture us all up again to be with him for eternity on the brand new earth. And it's awesome that we have that available to us. That brand new earth that he's gone to prepare for us, that we will have and be able to enjoy for eternity. And that brand new earth, speaking in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise. What's the promise? He's coming back and getting us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. That's the promise that we have to look forward to. The fulfillment of that promise. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 again. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The only way to be found without spot and blameless is to be prayed up, to be obedient to the guidelines he's given us, to put God number one in your life and to love others as yourself. When you mess up, when you stumble, you take it to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. As it says back over there in the small epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. All these guidelines are given to us. All this stuff is told us, the things that he's going to come back, there's going to be judgments and so forth, so that we don't sin, so that we can be there and not be ashamed, so that we can be found blameless. That ye sin not. And if any man sin, then there's no here. If you do stumble, if you do mess up, if you do get dirty again, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's right there pleading our case continuously, sitting on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, our mediator. As it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, the payment. He paid the ultimate price. He paid the price for all sin of all mankind, past, present, and future. Everybody's sin. Even all those filthy sinners out there that will never come to the Lord, he paid the price for them as well. He bought us all back from the devil. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's the understanding that we have. That's the desire that we have. If we are obedient to the commandments, if we love God with all of our existence, and we love others as ourselves, all those other commandments will fall right into place. And if we truly do that, if we truly have a burning desire to do that, then we know we have a relationship with God. If you are lacking those two desires, if you're lacking the desire to please the Lord, then you don't have a relationship with him anyway. You need to get a relationship with him. You need to be adopted into the family. So humbly come to him and ask for forgiveness, and he'll forgive you. He'll wash you in the blood, and save you from your sins. And you'll be looking forward to what it says over in Revelation chapter 21. All us that are looking forward to His coming are looking forward to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." The ones that have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, becoming part of the family of God, living on that beautiful brand new earth for eternity, with no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more death, never again to be separated from God. That's awesome that we have that to look forward to. But to those out there that have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it speaks of them in verse 8 here. "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So if you know anybody out there that is clearly not displaying the fruits of a Christian, try to reach out to them, let them know that there's a lake of fire for eternity in their future if they don't turn to the Lord and receive the many, many blessings that He has available for them now and for eternity. So much available if we just tap into it and receive it. Stay prayed up. Don't be ashamed of your behavior. How do you do that? By praying, listening to the guidance of the Holy Ghost. When you trust Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, He indwells you with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. He's the guide that can help us. He's the strength that can help us to overcome whatever problems that are out there, to overcome all the temptations that are out there. Because we know in His Word, He tells us over and over, like He tells us in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." And in verse 12, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Acknowledging and knowing you're going to be judged for what you've done. What have you done with the time that the Lord has given you? Are you going to be ashamed at judgment, or are you going to be ready to go, saying, "Lord, I'm here to be judged. I'm looking forward to many blessings you have in store for me." So get prayed up so you can have that blameless and spotless attire when you're there before the Lord. And let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so awesome, the many, many things you tell us about, the things that we have to look forward to as born-again Christians. Encourage us to go out and share that with others as well. Lead, guide, direct us so we can all come to you and never be ashamed of our behavior, so that we can come to you spotless and blameless. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.